Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Like sands through the Blackwater, so are the days of our Milton. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
The item itself was moved forward for action by council. There was one nay vote. What I understand is that people are concerned that this is a policy that will cause censorship of the members of the government.
I'm here together with my fellow patriots to also speak, encourage you to support our constitutional rights and our freedom of speech, and especially for our representatives, as we live in a constitutional republic, and that is our voice. And if we are going to implement some policies to control that voice, that will basically censoring our voice as we the people. And even though I understand perhaps your intentions are the best to conduct our city council members in the best behavior, however, it's a very dangerous place when we're trying to control their freedom of speech.
So the first voice that you heard there was Mayor Heather Lindsay saying, you know, some people seem to be kind of upset about this social media policy thing. So we're going to try to move that up a little bit in the agenda. And then Maria Calkins, wife of Commissioner James Calkins, she lost the election against Joel Rubman for District 3 for the State House. And she showed up there to talk about, you know, the importance of standing up for our rights and protecting our rights, because the thing that we have to be thinking about is, well, this policy maybe makes sense in the hands of the people that we trust with it now, but what if we find ourselves under the rule of despotism in Milton?
Any policies you're considering, you have to imagine that this policy would be in the hands of the worst dictator. And it can change. The time can change. The leaders can change. We have to think about those things.
And again, just to remind you of the context, we're talking about the worst dictator in Milton. so that's where we're at. But no, look, there was a social media policy that is already in place for employees. Okay, it's been in place for employees since, I think, 2015. And that social media policy says things like, when you're blogging or using social media, you know, you're supposed to not slander the city. You're supposed to not speak on behalf of the city unless you're specifically given the power to. There's no expectation of privacy when you're using the internet at work, and that your postings, if you post them, can be reviewed by anybody, including the city of Milton. And that the city of Milton reserves the right to monitor comments or discussions about the city and its employees posted on the internet by anybody, as any entity would do. The city of Milton uses blog search tools and software to monitor forums, blogs, and other types of personal journals, diaries, personal and business discussion forums, and social media sites in order to make sure that it's aware of the things that are being said about its policies. Employees are cautioned that they should not have the expectation of privacy while using city equipment or facilities for any purpose, including authorized blogging. And the city of Milton reserves the right to use content management tools to monitor, review, or block content on city blogs that violate company blogging rules and guidelines. That's all current. That's been this way for 8 years. That is current. Okay? It goes on to say things like, if you're an employee commenting on city business, you're supposed to put in a disclaimer that says, okay, this is me speaking, not the city of Milton speaking. Like if you happen to be an employee in the sanitation department or in the gas department, you know, and people think, oh, well, that guy works for the gas department. He speaks for the city. You're supposed to make a note like, ah, I'm not speaking for the city here. And then here's the part that it adds. Okay. This is the part that it adds, because it's the ad that even the underlying policy itself, I think a lot of the folks were against, but the changes were the main thing that they were looking at. City officials should avoid presenting their personal views as those of the city as a whole, which is a pretty reasonable thing to say people ought not to do, right? You know, if you're talking, and this came up like Jeff Snow talking at the Board of Realtors, or Ed Spears talking at the Board of Realtors meeting that caused some consternation recently, that officials should avoid presenting their personal views as those of the city of the whole, that city elected officials and appointed officials, like board members, okay, would be added to at least one clause in this, because they are not employees. An elected official is not an employee. Even though they get paid, they're not considered employees. And appointed officials are not employees. It says that they shall not post images, files, or text depicting the city property, equipment, or personnel in any manner that would adversely affect the reputation of the city or a city department. So basically, you know, if there's a broken down street sweeper on the side of the road and you're a city council member, this says that you shouldn't post an image of that street sweeper to make the city look stupid because I got a broken down street sweeper. That's how I read it. That's and also kind of internal private things that you're not supposed to disclose to everybody. When it comes to personal communications, it says use common sense. This is already in the law. Those things I just mentioned were changes. And not changes of the content, but changes of the application to elected officials and board members. Okay. City employees are already under this. All right. So that's already in place. Employees shall not engage in name calling or personal attacks. Don't use ethnic slurs. Avoid comments or topics that may be considered objectionable or inflammatory. And then again, it adds, and don't use blogs or social media sites to harass, threaten, discriminate against, or disparage employees or anyone associated or doing business with the city of Milton. Then it goes on. This is an ad. This is a new thing. Elected and appointed officials to uphold the values of the city of Milton as expressed in its policy shall endeavor to meet these standards, meaning please try. You know, that's the extent of it. Please try. There's no consequences because there's no discipline to be had against an elected official or a board member. I mean, you can remove them from a board if you don't like what they're doing, but there's just no consequence here. And then it says at the very end, discipline to the extent an elected or appointed official is accused of violating the standards expressed in this policy. The mayor and city council should determine the validity of the complaint and the action, if any, to be taken with regard to the complaint. And again, against elected officials, the answer is there's nothing. There's nothing. So what is this? What does the policy proposed policy change actually do? It basically says to elected officials and board members, can you guys try to be nice? That's it. That's the whole scope of it. So it's a pretty bland thing, but never let a bland thing, and I'll tell you in a minute whether I thought this was a good move or not, but never let a bland thing be misunderstood for being a, you know, a bland thing.
And, you know, I want to talk a little bit about the censorship. Everybody has opinions, just like everybody has behinds. Let's be realistic. And the thing I want to make sure you know, censorship is a very serious thing. You're going down a rabbit hole that you may want to let bank. Because I'm going to tell you, the first thing they do when the communist starts, and this is true, it starts with infiltration of our schools, our government, because I will run against anybody in this area for council. I'm retired. I retired at 48 years old. I'm a success and I have money, and I will run with my own money, and I will be take your place because we are America first.
So that was a citizen who lives in the city of Milton, Michael Stevens. You then had Roxanne Meese, who was the, they had voted to approve this, or well, not to like finalize it, but to move it forward 7-1. The last time they had a meeting on this, this was a 7-1 yes vote in order to make the social media policy with the very mild application to elected officials and appointed officials move forward. And then everybody in the town lost their minds and got angry and said, this is socialism, this is communism, this is the kind of thing that all of the great dictators would have loved. And, you know, sort of like, how dare you? I'm not kidding.
Because this is a policy that any of your top socialists would implement. it's... With self-censorship, people will have second thoughts about standing up for other rights.
Because, you know, tyrants want to take away your rights and make you censor yourself, and which is, that's true, by the way. That is exactly correct.
Something to consider is that a tyrant will always push their agenda. And it's the duty of the patriot to stand in the way of that.
This is former city council member Shannon Rice, who has spoken a couple of times since she left office. She resigned or retired, however you want to think about it, I think because of health problems, but now she's kind of back and active again. So again, Roxanne Meese, who was the one no vote when this was considered the last time, she was the one on the 7-1, she says...
Personally, I was rather shocked that I was the only one of the council standing up for our First Amendment rights, giving us freedom of speech. I am perfectly capable of monitoring my verbal output and do not need anyone to tell me what I may and may not say in public or on social media. The City of Milton residents elected me based on my opinions and theirs. I will not allow any other council members to vote me out of office based on my opinion, and you all should not allow this to happen to you.
And that, see, I think the principle that the angry citizens and also what turns out to be all eight of the city council members under withering criticism from the citizens, I think the general principle that they're concerned about, of course, I agree with them. You shouldn't be trying to censor the political speech of other politicians. You shouldn't be creating policies that censor even your own political speech or that give rise to the kind of soft censorship where you're not sure what you're supposed to say, therefore you overly control what you say in an effort to avoid the fear of the unknown, because that's what happens when you have restrictions on First Amendment rights. I agree with them about all of this. The real issue here to me is whether this policy, as created, is anything like the kind of blow up that it generated. And the answer is no. The answer is no. The policy is super mild. And I looked at some of the other policies of like the city of Gulf Breeze and the city of Pensacola and even Escambia County. And it may not surprise you, but they all have policies related to social media. The difference is they don't apply to elected officials. In fact, Escambia County used to have from 2009, and then it was only recently, like 2016 is when they rescinded it, they had a total ban. You couldn't text county business, theoretically. I mean, not that nobody did. I'm just saying that's what the rule was. As a commissioner, you weren't supposed to use Twitter or blogs or anything like that if you were a county commissioner. Like zero. You weren't supposed to use any of it. And this goes back to some sunshine violation concerns in other places in Florida back in the late 2000s. And so they were thinking, well, this is how we control this. Well, obviously, all of that's gone by the wayside, and they officially rescinded that. But some of that became an issue with Doug Underhill when he was in office, you'll remember, because some of the commissioners thought that that policy should be enforced. And Doug's like, you can't make me speak differently. I'm an elected official. I have the most protected of all rights, the First Amendment right to speak about politics as my official duties. And even the speaking about those is entitled to legal protection by our lawyers if I get sued over these things, and which is turning out to be correct. And they got that wrong because they hated Doug Underhill. Anyway, there's, you know, this issue of elected officials and their free speech is kind of an important one. So I agree with the citizens. I think this policy was misguided, and you just shouldn't be trying to have any kind of control over the speech of elected officials or even the board members. If you don't like how the board member is behaving, just remove them from the board. And if you don't like how a city council member is behaving, well, that's what elections are for, you know, or that's what the governor is there for. But that is not for city council members to be telling each other or county commission members to be telling each other. Even though I don't disagree that sometimes, you know, stupidity rules, the First Amendment protects a lot of stupidity. And that's, but this kind of overblown, exaggerated response, like the city is going to be monitoring people's social media accounts and punishing them and removing them and all, I mean, none of that was in the policy and none of that could even happen. Or the parts of it that are true are already true for the employees. You know, so it's been this way forever. What I think some of these folks would prefer to have is remove the existing policy. But it's very normal for businesses and governments and all kinds of organizations to have social media policies to prevent its employees from sabotaging and torpedoing the entity. So in the end, in principle, I'm with the critics. On the basis of the facts, I think the critics had a lot of their facts wrong. But I am glad that the policy got defeated, and it did get defeated 8-0 with a lot of chest thumping and aren't we grating and isn't the First Amendment wonderful and we're so sorry that we didn't understand this in the beginning. Which, if that's the outcome, maybe that's okay. But that was your drama for the day. We'll be talking about this more throughout the morning because it was an interesting exercise in politics. 5:24 here on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Remember when washing machines were made in America, were solidly built, and actually got your clothes clean? They aren't a thing of the past. They are Speed Queen, and they are available at Tops Appliance. Speed Queen washer and dryers combine durability and technology into the best washers and dryers in the world. Speed Queen will change the way you think about washing machines. They're built to last longer and deliver exceptional wash results. Unlike many other washers and dryers with plastic parts, Speed Queen uses commercial-grade steel and porcelain components designed to give you at least 25 years of reliable, trouble-free operation. That's why they come with lifetime warranties, the best warranties in the business. See store for warranty details. Speed Queen washers and dryers are built to work and built to last. If you want durability, innovation, and perfectly done laundry the first time, then you want Speed Queen. See these great Speed Queen washers and dryers for yourself at Tops Appliance on Highway 90 in Milton, just east of Stewart Street.
Heart failure, carpal tunnel syndrome, shortness of breath, stomach issues, lower back pain. How does it all add up? If you have heart failure and any of those seemingly unrelated symptoms sound familiar, it's time to talk with your cardiologist and get the full picture. They may add up to transthyretin amyloid cardiomyopathy. ATTRCM is a rare and underdiagnosed disease. Recognize the signs and discuss them with your doctor soon. Learn more at connectwithyourheart.com. That's connectwithyourheart.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Pensacola Little Theater presents The Nebula of Georgia, a dramedy written by one of their own. This story of a family in Georgia is chock full of Southernisms and great characters. When a wayward daughter comes home for a funeral, her chilly reception by her family has nothing to do with the sweltering house and everything to do with the family secret that comes to life. The Nebula of Georgia, May 19th through the 27th. Get your tickets at the PLT box office or online at PensacolaLittleTheater.com.
For the ones finding new ways to ensure the job always gets done. For the ones wearing many hats. For the ones who are hands-on, even from far away. And the ones keeping business moving forward. We are Grainger, offering professional-grade industrial supplies, plus real-time product availability and access to experts ready to answer your toughest questions. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The best local resource that happens to be entertaining. News Radio Pensacola is on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Meep, meep, meep.
Good morning, 527, News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. We are on that blue highway. It's going to be 90 again today. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
The federal government sending more troops to the southern border. A Pentagon spokesman says another 950 troops will be arriving by the end of the month, most of them headed to El Paso. This comes after Title 42 expired. Reportedly, though, that didn't cause much of a surge in migrants crossing the border. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints now firing back at allegations of illegal financial practices. In a 60 Minutes interview that aired over the weekend, a former investment advisor for that church accused it of hiding billions of dollars and violating its tax-exempt status. A statement from the church called those allegations unfounded. And the man behind ChatGPT is testifying in Congress today. OpenAI CEO Sam Altman will be taking questions from lawmakers that are calling for the regulation of AI tools over fears it could be abused. Altman's company, of course, created ChatGPT.
Mr. Altman, do you believe that your technology is capable of damaging the quality of life for millions of Americans and displacing jobs and leading to global chaos and disruption of systems? Senator, hold on just one moment. I'll get you that answer. No, Senator. ChatGPT. I think the real entertainment would be if they asked the questions of ChatGPT in live time.
That would be good. Yes.
I mean, wouldn't that be like, you know, you could have, like, Sam can give his answer, and then ChatGPT, excuse me, Mr. Altman. Altman, right? Sam Altman.
Altman, yes.
Altman, yeah. And then ChatGPT would be like, well, I don't completely agree with my boss. Here's what I think. I mean, that would be, I don't know. I'm just saying. I mean, yes, they're probably not going to do that, but that would be entertaining. Thanks so much for the update, David. 529 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Hey, Candy, if you're about to get arrested for a DUI and you happen to live in Colorado, and I don't know, you've got your dog in the car with you in the passenger seat, what would your strategy be for avoiding the DUI? This doesn't seem like all that complicated, but what would your strategy be?
I would guess call my husband and say, come get this dog we don't have because I'm about to go to jail. Chip's finally on to me.
Or you could switch places with the dog and tell the officer that you weren't driving. It was the dog that was weaving back and forth around. Sure. Common tactic. Didn't work. in Colorado. And then, by the way, when the guy realized that it wasn't going to work, he got out and ran away. Well, yeah. Stumbled and fell away. He managed to get a full 20 yards away before the police caught up with him. Arrested on charges including DUI, alcohol, drugs, driving while ability impaired, as well as pretending to make a dog impersonate a human. David Wayne will have your local news coming up next after Fox.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Former President Trump tells Fox there must be a heavy price to pay for the FBI investigation into ties between his campaign and the Russian government. Special Counsel John Durham's report finds it was unwarranted.
Durham's report reads in part, senior FBI personnel displayed a serious lack of analytical rigor toward the information that they received, especially information received from politically affiliated persons and entities.
Fox's Brooks Singman, the FBI says dozens of corrective actions have already been taken. Police in Farmington, New Mexico say an 18-year-old walked around a neighborhood shooting, seemingly at random, killing three people, wounding six, including two police officers.
They were able to stop his actions at that time. The suspect is deceased.
Farmington Deputy Police Chief Barrett Crum says the shooter had three guns, firing at cars and houses. No word why he may have done it. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 News Radio 92.3. Right now, partly cloudy at 73 in Pensacola. Just a day away now from NAS Pensacola restoring 7-day public access. Now, if you're planning on going on base tomorrow, they are advising that you plan ahead. They're expecting significant crowds, as tomorrow will be a Blue Angels practice day. Now, the public access will be available starting at 9 o'clock in the morning to 3 p.m. through the West Gate on Blue Angel. All U.S. citizens or nationals 18 and older do need to have a real ID or a passport. And while on the base, the public will be allowed to visit the Lighthouse, Fort Brancas, and the Naval Aviation Museum, as well as check out that Blue Angels practice session. Governor Ron DeSantis says public colleges and universities won't be allowed to use taxpayer money for diversity, equity, and inclusion programs.
I think it's been a distraction from the core mission of the university, and I think this is a needed corrective.
Yesterday, the governor signed three new bills into law limiting DEI programs and critical race theory-based curriculum. Those laws officially go into effect July 1st. A Pensacola man now arrested, held on $46,000 bond for a shooting incident earlier this month. It happened back on May 6th. The woman was shot in the leg at Peachtree Commons Apartments. The victim telling investigators she and other women were arguing when the gunshots rang out. 27-year-old Tavares Moses, accused by witnesses of being the trigger man, then handing the gun off to somebody else. He now faces multiple charges, including aggravated battery and possession by a convicted felon. Moses did have five prior felony convictions. Pensacola police defending the decision that police officers made when they pursued a stolen car on Sunday, despite that pursuit ending with the death of the 28-year-old driver.
The decision to chase is made in a matter of seconds by the officer and by the officer's supervisor. They have to consider a lot of things in that decision, mainly what the person is wanted for. And this was a forcible felony.
PPD's Mike Wood and police spotted that 2016 Mustang Sunday. They say it had been stolen in an armed carjacking last week. The chase lasted about a mile, ended with that car crashing into a building on Mobile Highway. FHP continues to investigate the crash. 534, it's News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather.
We're going to be seeing an isolated chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon. 40% chance of rain with a high near 87. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 73. For Wednesday, 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms with a high near 86. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 70 degrees. 20% chance of rain as you go into Thursday with a high near 84. And Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 69. Stay connected to the Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you, Brooke. Right now, 73. It's partly cloudy in Pensacola, 74 in Gulf Breeze, and 71 in Milton. Your next news at 6. Breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
When you think News Radio 92.3, think local. With three local hosts every weekday and a dedicated local newsroom, no other station covers local issues like what's going on with the progress of Three Mile Bridge or the Pensacola Beach sign, the homeless population in Pensacola, overcrowding of animal shelters in Santa Rosa County, the latest drama of the e-scooters, traffic warnings and storm coverage, and more. Your local news station is News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Hobbies can be fun and expensive. How about a hobby that's fun and could make you money? Find out how this Thursday morning at 10 with Emerald Coast Coins. Hear about precious metals and metal detectors as a great hobby. For nearly 20 years, Emerald Coast Coins has been one of the top-rated businesses in Northwest Florida to buy and sell gold, silver, and the best metal detectors to find treasure. Get more information about this Thursday morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. From our spectacular beaches to the miles of rivers and unspoiled forests, the Gulf Coast offers some of the best family adventure around. And the Subaru Crosstrek and Subaru Forester are the perfect family vehicles to explore every dune and unpaved trail in Northwest Florida. Both come standard with sure-footed symmetrical all-wheel drive to take you deep into the wild places you love. The Crosstrek is powered by 182 horsepower Subaru Boxer engine that adds plenty of go to any adventure, and the Forester boasts 9.2 inches of ground clearance to get you through every wilderness challenge. There's more than enough room for your gear and plenty of options to make the Crosstrek or Forester fit your lifestyle. In a Subaru, the destination is the journey, so grab the kids and the dog and follow your own path to adventure. Love is out there at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Carr City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
We're committed to providing you with the latest and most accurate information during hurricane season. So tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the latest updates and stay safe.
Good morning, 5:37 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Before we get to Shane Tucker's interview from yesterday, I do want to let you know that in case you had not found out already, flying in and out of Pensacola Airport today is a hot mess because of a fire that they had involving some of the electrical conduiting that runs the lights on the runways. So they were not able to take off and land yesterday after dark. And they still have, like, all kinds of flights are delayed or canceled this morning. They seem to be operating a little bit more after, you know, sort of like 9 a.m. Things are getting back a little bit more towards normal. But they're still working on it. Obviously, it's not fixed yet this morning. I talked to Matt Coughlin about this, the airport director, yesterday. And, you know, he said he's actually out of town. He's on his anniversary with his wife for 25 years. And, you know, you go on vacation for your 25th anniversary and this happens, you know. Ugh, it sucks. But no, he was monitoring it all, and he said, look, we're working our tails off to get this fixed, and, you know, we will as soon as we can. Because I asked him, was it going to be like a one-day thing or a longer thing? And he's like, we'll know when we know, you know? So there we go. Woo! Just check the boards and call your airlines if you're flying.
Well, hey, welcome if you're in Pensacola. Yeah, we hope that you're enjoying these few hours.
Glad to have you for an extra time.
There's lots of great breakfast places
that's right.
Our beach.
There we go.
Yeah.
All right. Yesterday we had a chance to talk to Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Department Chief Deputy Shane Tucker. Chief, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. So we have anything happen over the weekend, over the last day or two? I think you might have had a stabbing. Is that right?
We had a few incidents that are probably worth mentioning. We did have a stabbing Wednesday afternoon. Our deputies responded to a disturbance in the Gulf Breeze District. When they got on scene and started talking to folks, they found a male subject that had a stab wound to his upper chest area. He alleged he'd been stabbed by his roommate. A witness corroborated that statement, so the suspect was hunted down. He fled the area, but a short time later, he was located and arrested. Certainly not the kind of end we want to see to an argument, but fortunately, it does not appear that the injuries were life-threatening.
Well, that's good. Did we find out a cause? Was it just roommate stuff? What, I mean, any reason given?
I don't know if they did determine an impetus to the argument. Whatever it was, we can assume that it was not an acceptable response to stab his roommate, but I don't think we know exactly what started that.
You also had a couple of brothers involved in an aggravated assault?
I sure did. Friday night, a juvenile was arrested after an argument with a relative turned somewhat violent. Our deputies were dispatched to a home in the north end of the county for a family disturbance, and when they got on scene, they determined that these two brothers, one was an adult, one was a juvenile, had been fighting. The juvenile allegedly retrieved a shotgun, pointed it at the older brother, and threatened to kill him. So after the investigation was done, witnesses were spoken to. The juvenile was arrested for domestic violence battery, domestic violence aggravated assault, and violation of an injunction. He had an injunction on an unrelated party, but that injunction prohibited him from being in possession of a firearm. So he was he allegedly violated the DVI in that respect.
You know, this is a little off track for us, but I just want to ask you your opinion. You and I talk so much, and, you know, I talk with Chip and Mike Wood, and we talk about all these things. You know, anger management, right? I mean, the ability to de-escalate a situation, the ability to manage your emotions, the ability to make, you know, smart decisions in complicated emotional circumstances with difficult people, right? Like that won't solve the drug and theft-related crimes, but I'm imagining a world in which people get training. You know, they wind up getting taught how to handle these things better. And I know you can't solve everything, but it seems like law enforcement, obviously, you know, it's not necessarily your job to do prevention, but it seems like there would be a benefit if we could somehow get that resource in the hands of people beforehand, you know, like as a preventative. And I mean, maybe this is a hopelessly large task, but you see where my head's at. Is there anything like that? You know, would the kind of people that are going to be a problem be willing to take such instruction to begin with? You know, you get what I'm asking?
I think I do. You know, a great number of the things that you and I speak about every single week are directly related to people's inability to manage and deal with conflict and anger. You know, here just recently we've had several road rage incidents where people point guns in traffic. That is directly related to an inability to handle anger and
right.
A lack of anger management skills. I think certainly anecdotally speaking, I think we're seeing a significant number in our society
that are until I was
being raised,
they
are leaving high school, they are becoming adults without appropriate anger management skills.
Now, why would I lie? Everyone's always like, you lied. Why would I lie? You know what I did with my extra 12,000 hours
where
in my life?
A brother points a shotgun at another brother. You know, clearly there is a problem there, which likely could result from some type of anger management deficiencies. When we see roommates stabbing other roommates in an argument,
right.
Clearly it's suspect that somebody has anger management difficulty. I think you're on point with your assessment that is much needed. You know, that is something that begins early on in development. You know, if you're 13 or 14 years old and you've never been exposed to appropriate relationships or appropriate anger management,
right.
It's going to be far, far more difficult for you to function, you know, successfully in society than somebody who, say, had that behavior modeled for him or her for their entire life, their entire development.
And I
think your assessment is spot on, but it is a massive problem that is outside the scope of just law enforcement. It starts in the home. It starts in the schools and the churches. Everywhere that has anything to do with the development of children.
you know, I don't, I ideally, you know, we would get everybody at some point into some kind of, you know, training on how to handle emotions. But I'm even thinking of simple things, you know, like as a parent of three boys, right? Boys fight, okay? It just does. And so maybe even, you know, you guys do PSAs, you know, you guys buy spots and put up billboards, same in Escambia County, you know, lock your doors to keep it yours. You know, maybe if we can distill down some real basic things like, hey, you know, when you're having a fight, take a breath. When you're having a fight, leave the area. You know, like the basic things I taught my boys, like leave the area. You can always just leave. Just leave. You know, like how many crimes, horrific stories, incidents would have been averted if somebody had just taken two breaths and walked around the block, you know? That, like that kind of stuff seems like we might have a chance to make even a small dent at prevention instead of having to work so much on the back end in terms of, you know, punishment, basically. Anyway, that's just where my head's at. It seems like something maybe tackleable. That's all I was thinking. In that vein, I did also want to ask you, I guess we had it's National Police Week this week, and I'm trying to make your load lighter. You know, I'm trying to see if we can, you know, if we could get people to behave and you could come on the radio and be like, no incidents this week. Excellent. It's working. You know, that's my goal. So it is National Police Week this week, though, right?
It sure is. National Police Week is a time to honor and remember those law enforcement officers who you know, made the ultimate sacrifice in the line of duty. It's a time for us to give peer support to each other, to family members who have lost. You know, any time a law enforcement officer is killed in the line of duty, the family suffers tremendously, but so does the agency, and honestly, we as an entire society suffer. You know. So this is certainly an appropriate time for us to reflect on what our nation's law enforcement officers are confronted with every day they go to work, and to just be grateful for the men and women who do serve their communities with honor and courage, and for those who have stepped up to meet that challenge head on. We're just so grateful.
Well, Shane Tucker is Chief Deputy Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office. I couldn't agree more. Thank you so much for what you're doing, and always thank you for keeping us informed, sir. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you, sir.
And by the way, what I'm looking for next week is your 5-point plan of how you're going to teach everybody anger management. Okay, so you and the sheriff.
I'm on it.
Well, I mean, you know, it sounds insane, but I don't know. Maybe there's a way. Maybe somebody has a creative idea. I'd love to see it.
You know, I would go so far as to say if we could institute something like that on a wide scale, we would see a remarkable difference in what we talk about on Mondays.
Right, and that's what got me thinking about it. All of a sudden, I'm like, you know. We talk about it. We talk about these instances. Is there a way we could, I don't know, fix a little bit of this stuff, you know? Shane, man, I appreciate you. Thanks so much. I'll talk to you next week.
Talk to you soon. Thanks.
547 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. You know, if you're needing to get your car worked on, you've got a BMW, a Porsche, Mercedes, a Genesis, Audi, Jaguar, a Lexus. Nice cars, nice imports. You spend extra for them. You don't have to spend extra to give them service. You might think you have to. You might think you have to drive and go to the dealership and spend the extra gas and the time and then the extra money that it costs you to go to the dealer. It's not true. You can get those worked on at Bobby Likes Auto Service, no problem. They work on those cars all the time. Same for your diesel engines. They work on those. You might think that's a specialty item, and it kind of is, but that's okay. They work on that and everything else. Your ordinary car, you know, we don't talk about that as much, but, you know, whatever other car you have, they work on it, no problem. CarClinicService.com, that's the website, like a healthcare clinic for your car. They were rated a 2021 top-rated service center by Carfax, 4.5 average reviews or above. Bobby Likes Auto Service right here on Davis Highway.
When it comes to Medicare-related plans, one size does not fit all. From plans that help cover out-of-pocket costs to comprehensive plans that include additional benefits and features, you're sure to find an option that fits your healthcare needs and your budget. Tune in this Thursday at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel to hear Ricky Stewart discuss how she can help you make the right insurance choice. That's this Thursday at 9.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
This Memorial Day weekend, select the best meats cut fresh to your liking from Costello's Butcher Shop and Deli. It's a time of remembrance, a time of gatherings, and time for some good cooking. You'll find a huge selection of specialty beef, pork, chicken, and even exotic meats. From fine wines, cheeses, and desserts, plus all the Boar's Head Deli items you need for the perfect Memorial Day celebrations to set the table with the best. So head to Costello's Butcher Shop and Deli, a great place to meet up on the west side of Pensacola.
Bands on the Beach is back. Bring a lawn chair or a towel and enjoy live music at the stage on Pensacola Beach. There's plenty of room to spread out and enjoy the sand, the sunset, and great live music every Tuesday night at 7. Let's have a rendezvous. This week, Gretch Lyles and the Modern Eldorados take the stage at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion, bringing country and rock and roll the way it used to be to Bands on the Beach. Plus, don't miss out on shopping at the Gulfside Market. It's Bands on the Beach every Tuesday night at 7.
Investing in times like these can be scary if you don't have the right person at the helm of your finances. Armada Advisors will put you on the right path for success. Join Wesley Odom with Armada Advisors to find a better way you can successfully invest your money and enjoy your retirement. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel this morning at 10.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Text alerts are a great way to stay informed and connected. They're quick, easy, and convenient.
So what are you waiting for?
Download the News Radio Pensacola app and opt in for push notifications.
Me, 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 me.
I can't even drum it right, and I've got two arms. 551 on News
Wow. I met that guy. They came into town for Rockline. They are so cool.
I bet.
Yes.
Sure,
oh, my
are.
Gosh. I would be very snotty if I were them.
Hysteria was after he had the accident, right? Hysteria was with the one arm, right? Because I know Pyromania
was
before.
Yeah, would pour
before.
Some sugar on yeah, me. Yeah, and right. Yeah, absolutely. Which is just, I know, I can't drum with no arms.
I know.
and
I still say,
or, yeah,
the drummer
great.
Is the most underappreciated impossible job in rock
it
music.
It is. It looks easy.
You're right.
It's
oh,
so
I can do that.
Hard.
Yeah, it's not doing it for a moment. It's not doing it for 30 seconds.
Oh
it's
my
hard.
Gosh.
It's doing it exactly right for the whole song.
And they always get the worst parts of the jokes. Like, you can park here because you have your yeah, sticks right. in the window or whatever. And it's like, dude, drums are the hardest instrument. Oh my gosh.
551. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, fighting crime in Washington, D.C., the focus of a House hearing today. Washington, D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser going before a committee to explain how she's addressing the issues. And she revealed a new bill there yesterday called Safer, Stronger D.C. legislation. A suspect on the terror watch list was arrested trying to cross the border into San Diego. Suspect from Afghanistan on the FBI's terror watch list was arrested at Otay Mesa on Wednesday after crossing the border illegally as part of a larger group. That incident was announced by a San Diego County supervisor. And Elon Musk now being subpoenaed as part of a lawsuit in the U.S. Virgin Islands accusing J.P. Morgan Chase of enabling sexual abuse by Jeffrey Epstein. According to Reuters, the subpoena is seeking all communications between Musk and Epstein, and says that Epstein may have referred Musk to the bank. The lawsuit was filed by the Virgin Islands, and it claims that J.P. Morgan and Chase knowingly benefited from the abuse by Epstein.
All right. Wow. Wow. All right. Thanks so much, David. I appreciate the update. 5:53. We got a text in from somebody when we were talking with Shane Tucker about the anger management training, whatever, and he said, here's your cure for anger management. Swish water around in your mouth for 2 minutes. And you're like, what? Swish water around. And I'm thinking, like, does it distract your brain? Mm-hmm. Does it teach you to slow down? Does it, you know, so he's like, water doesn't really do anything, he says, but you do shut the blank up for 2 minutes.
That's a great idea, though.
And it's,
that is a great idea.
Yeah, you know, it's hard to yell. And it's there's all kinds of things you can do, right? Some of them require a little bit more self-control than others. That's why I always tell the boys, just leave the area. Like, that's the basic thing you can do.
That's the best thing you can
that,
do.
You know,
yeah.
You can literally force your feet to walk away. We're like, you mother. You know, and that works. I mean, even if you're still angry and you want to fight, you know, range weapons at that distance, right? It's
absolutely,
it's harder
yeah.
to fist fight. But, you know, you can do things like, here's like slightly more savvy. This is, you can pray for the other person. Now, that requires a lot of discipline, but it's really hard to like hate somebody actively while you're praying for them.
Mm-hmm.
Just small thing, you know, and laughter is always one of those. If you can figure out a way to make people laugh, you can always, I'm not saying that's a great solution for angry situations, but, you know, again, it's hard to be furious when you're laughing.
Oh, sure.
You know, incompatible emotions kind of thing. Just like the swishing the water around, it's kind of like, And I'm really, but I can't talk or nothing. And this water's kind of, that's refreshing. What were we talking about again? You know, like that's kind of the short term.
That's a great idea.
Because what you're really trying to do is you're just trying to create about 15 seconds worth of something else. That's all it takes, about 15 seconds worth of something else. And it's amazing how much difference that can make. 5:54 on News Radio 92.3. We got an interesting story came in yesterday about Space Force,
yes.
Which, Space Force is struggling, apparently, with the perception that they're not actually a branch of the military, because, you know, people make jokes like, space, we know it's vital, we know it is the future of warfighting, we know that controlling space is essential, not just for, you know, terrestrial combat, airborne combat, but, you know, future actual space domains, whatever. The problem is that, one problem is that they called themselves Guardians, which always... That always made me laugh. And then they picked the Star Trek emblem for their... there have been some missteps. So anyway, the top officer, General B. Chance Saltzman, no relation. Saltzman, not Salzman. Anyway, he says, one of the problems is nobody knows what they do. And part of that is because they picked a terrible mission statement. He says in an internal memo that was acquired by military.com, how many Guardians can recite the current mission statement of the Space Force? My guess is very few. My biggest concern is that the mission statement does not reflect why the nation has a Space Force and the vital functions Guardians perform. Of course, you could be confused in these Guardians versus the Cleveland, don't call them Indians anymore, Guardians. Anyway, he says that in 3 years, they have become a distinctive and separate branch and work tirelessly to build public recognition. Well, if what we have right now is the result of tireless public recognition efforts, either work harder or change tactics.
Because people think it's fake. There's two people that come in here, though, that work with a Space Force.
Yeah.
You've met them. I don't want to say what company they're with in case it's a conflicting.
It's a big deal. It's really important.
But,
that's right.
And I was like, oh, my gosh. And they were, yeah.
So he says, so this is what Chief Space Operations John Raymond, the recipient of Saltzman's memo. The memo said... that the mission statement is one of the problems, okay? Here's the current mission statement for Space Force. And by the way, this is not just a story about Space Force. You'll see why in a moment. The USSF, United States Space Force, is responsible for organizing, training, and equipping Guardians to conduct global space operations that enhance the way our joint and coalition forces fight while also offering decision makers... While also offering decision makers military options to achieve national objectives. Okay, now content-wise, I think it's all accurate. That's accurate, right? They're helping forces fight effectively, and they're giving leaders who make decisions options. Okay, but here's the problem. There's nobody that's memorized that. It's so terribly written, and it doesn't really articulate the mission. And it's a long, clunky, cumbersome thing. See, mission statements, and I'm actually, there's a book I read. I'm trying to remember the name of it. Maybe this was Path by Lori Beth Jones. I don't know. There was a book I read, 30 years ago. And one of the things I gleaned from that book was that most organizations that have mission statements have terrible mission statements. And by terrible, I mean almost everybody has them. Because the goal of a mission statement should be one sentence. That's so simple, a 6-year-old could understand it, that you know so well you could repeat it at gunpoint. Like, that's how simple it ought to be, that you can't forget it even at gunpoint. And that very easily helps you distinguish between this thing we're doing is in our mission statement, this thing we're doing is not in our mission statement. You follow? Okay, it should be that, because the point of a mission statement is not just to kind of capture the zeitgeist of the company, okay? The point of a mission statement is to help you say no to stuff. That's on target for us. That's not on target for us. That's the idea of a mission statement, to clearly delineate between time-wasting and productive things towards your mission, okay? I'll give you an example, okay? My own, personal mission statement is 4 words, to liberate people's minds. That's my mission statement. That's it. And I can never forget it because it's 4 words. It's very easy. And so I can know this thing that I'm doing right here, that's not on mission for me. This thing right here, this is on mission for me. So the Space Force is like every other entity in the known universe that has a terrible mission statement that is unclear that does not help it identify on and off task, you know, things to, on and off target things that it should do, and it's so hard that nobody can understand it. So same thing when you're working on your mission statement, like at your workplace or for your home.
Local Talk in the Morning, 5 to 9 with Andrew McKay is on News Radio 92.3.